Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the process of changing lead to gold. The alchemical process of changing lead to gold is a metaphor for moving consciousness from Muladhara chakra to Ajna chakra. We will discuss the ultimate gold medal available to every human being. Listen as Swami lays out the evidence procedure for apotheosis and shows you how to stand on the podium of life. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of your gold medal. So, Swami, what a great day for a show about the Olympics, since we just had the closing ceremonies in Rio last night. And what I'd like to do first is let's talk about to our listeners what exactly is apotheosis. You mentioned it in the summary. Let's explain what apotheosis is.
Well, apotheosis is the process of the human becoming divine, that there was this transformation of an individual. And one of the ways that they talked about that was the alchemical metaphor of symbolizing the concept of changing lead to gold. And it's an interesting thing because there is a lot of physics involved in this process that somehow we've gotten away from it, and we have a tendency now to substitute this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality. But apotheosis is initiated where an individual changes their source of sustenance. They change what it is that they desire, which is basically the underpinnings of all of our religions, and especially yoga. This whole thing of yoking or relinking to a different source of sustenance, and of course experiencing the changes that that brings.
So when we talk about the Olympics and we talk about this competition, how can we turn that around to bring upon us an awareness of what that means for us on a conscious level?
Well, I think originally the Olympics, these games, these competitions were really based on trying to see who was operating from this heightened sense of awareness, who were the individuals that had achieved this adult state. It wasn't so much whether you win or you lose, but the old expression of how you play the game. What is my level of consciousness? What is my degree of awareness? And the concept of a true champion is not inflated by winning and not deflated by losing. That the champion is supported by a resource of energy that doesn't let them down. They're not drawing off of the outside world. That they have what we call the benefit of internal support. And that's where this apotheosis begins. It begins with this internal connection. And I think it's really interesting that sometimes you can look at some of these esteemed athletes that we are looking at, and I think that whole incident with Ryan Lochte was a perfect example of just how off point we really are today, that we glamorize and we glorify human beings that are still operating from a level of what we would call the larvae state. That here's an individual who's 31 or 32 years of age and still acting immature, was actually his own words. And one of the things that you learn is that these humans in the adult state, these humans that have transformed and not just intellectually but alchemically, they are virtuous by nature. So the whole thing of victim or vandal, you know, that the human in the adult state is neither victim nor vandal, that they conduct themselves based on universal laws, principles, or behavior that is principle-centered. And of course, hanging a gold medal over somebody doesn't give you that internal connection. Most of these athletes are really using this external experience to inflate themselves. Mm-hmm. And not that there's anything intrinsically evil with it, but it is problematic. In fact, I remember watching the Olympics, and there was a period where Michael Phelps was going through a really deep depression, which would be really interesting for somebody who has that much going for them to ever be depressed. But it's all part of their level of consciousness, their degree of awareness, that this concept of changing lead to gold, this concept of moving consciousness from Muladhara chakra to Ajna chakra, this practice of Kriya Yoga that initiates this process that raises your level of consciousness, raises your degree of awareness. It gives you what we call internal support. And with that comes virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, and it gives you enthusiasm to overcome laziness. And there's just so much missing in our Western socialization, and I don't really even limit it to Western socialization anymore. I think it's global. I really don't think we get it. And so as a result, we try to glorify this lower level of consciousness, this lower degree of awareness. We keep lowering the bar, the standard. And if you don't have better examples, then of course you have nothing to compare it to, so it becomes the norm. But the whole thing of changing lead to gold is an important metaphor that I think you really want to look at and try and understand and at some point initiate for yourself.
I think it's important to realize that to become an athlete at those levels, you know, the Michael Phelps level and the Simone Biles and the rest of the, you know, the ladies gymnastic group or any of those athletes at the Olympics, you know, they have to go through a physical, mental, type of training. But what I find is interesting is that when you talk to someone, when you listen to the interviews that these medalists do, you know, after they get their medals, they all talk about, you know, taking their break, their celebrations, and you know, the ladies gymnastics couldn't wait to go out and have a pizza party, you know, things like this. That was their idea of celebration. And of course, you had mentioned the Ryan, you know, Lochte thing when they were all became inebriated. But isn't it interesting that they go through all this hard work physically and mentally, you know, to go through these competitions, and yet once they achieve that status, then that's it for them. They're on vacation, taking a break. They're going to do all of that. Where when a human becomes in the divine, you know, connected to the divine, there is no taking a break. That is your break. That is your celebration.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a whole difference. And again, just like what we were saying, it really comes down to what we desire. What is it that we long for? And most of us, we really never get out of infantile defense mechanisms, that we are constantly basically seeking approval for validation. We're looking for this external reinforcement. We want food, we want mother, we want approval. And whatever else we might have along the way internalized as a symbol that we use to produce the feeling we're okay. But again, coming back to the secret of life is to use this invisible, intangible source of sustenance to produce that feeling. But what I don't think a lot of people understand is that being spiritual is not abstaining from the foods that produce cravings for themselves, or abstaining from things like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, refined sugars. It's not abstaining. It's basically, it's indulging in a different source of sustenance. So again, you don't do all of this training and then go out and reward yourself with and become intoxicated with alcohol. It wouldn't happen, because you are intoxicated with the life force. And so whether you are swimming in the pool, or you are on the balance beam, or wherever it is that you are, you have that sense of indulging yourself in this life force. And what that actually does is it produces a level of consciousness and a degree of awareness, but it also produces confidence. And it's not dependent upon what the judges give you for what you just did, that you would still achieve a high level of performance and perfection in your endeavor. But your sense of self would not be dependent upon that.
I remember listening to an interview that they did with Tom Daley, the diver, and he didn't fare very well on his last competition and didn't even make it into the finals. But when he was interviewed, he didn't seem to be completely distraught over it. And I'm sure he was disappointed, but he seemed to have a pretty healthy attitude to me about him not making it to the finals. And he was like, I worked hard. I did the best I could. I was still happy with my performance, and I'm just going to continue to work hard and you know, pretty much see you in the next 4 years. I thought that was a pretty healthy attitude that he had.
Yeah, you're probably right. And also, I mean, there were other things in his life that were going well, you know. He was just engaged, and so sometimes that can be just enough to hold you together. But if other things were collapsing and you were using the Olympics to kind of like to validate yourself and have a stronger sense of self, then you're more in a crisis than if you've got other things that you're using to, again, produce the feeling you're okay. And that's one of the things that we typically try and do is we try and multitask. We try and have a lot of things that we use so that we can try and hold ourselves together. And it works as a coping skill to some extent, but it's not the same as when you are connected to the life force and you're using this very specific resource as your symbol for validation.
All right. Okay, we're going to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I want to talk about the medals that are given at the Olympics, and you have the bronze, the silver, and the gold. How does that correlate maybe to the levels of consciousness that we talk about? You know, you're either in animal state, human state, and divine state. Do you think there's a correlation there?
Oh, I'm sure that there are ways of measuring your performance, and so as a result, there are ways of measuring what level of consciousness and what degree of awareness that we are at. Because even, say, for example, your chakra system, that Muladhara chakra was associated with the planet Saturn, but also it was associated with the metal lead. Jupiter, or Svadhisthana, the navel center, was associated with the metal tin and the planet Jupiter. Manipuraka, Mars, at the solar plexus, is associated with the metal iron. Anahata, which is Venus at the heart center, is symbolized by copper. Vishuddha chakra, Mercury, at the throat center, is symbolized by what was called mercury or quicksilver.
Mm.
And then Ajna chakra, the sun-moon center, see that the feminine side of Ajna chakra is silver. It's associated with the zodiacal sign of Cancer, and the moon rules Cancer, which is associated with silver. And then the masculine side of Ajna chakra, which is Leo, is associated with the sun and the metal gold. So the whole thing of associating metals with a certain degree of performance and changing lead to gold, this moving consciousness from the root center to the third eye center was a really important phase in development. And there's a lot of metaphors out there that kind of help us understand where we might be in our level of consciousness, because I remember years ago hearing, you know, a statement that not all that glitters is gold. And there's a lot of shiny metals out there. In fact, even lead, if you get over that dull finish, you can kind of polish that up. It will oxidize pretty quickly, but you can actually get lead to shine a little bit. But the thing is that you want to understand that there is this process in development that is missing, this that we have to separate from our attachment to what was referred to as mother. And then we had to embark on this hero's journey. And there was a lot of things that we had to be able to do, not just physically, but mentally figure out. And then, of course, this return to become king, which is this process in development that typically is missing. Somehow we seem to have followed the teachings of people like Freud, mm-hmm. that really started this whole therapeutic mentality, which is basically just how to manage remaining a human in the larvae state, how to try and cope with what's really going on in your inner environment, this interplay between matter, mind, and spirit, mm-hmm. and where these collisions are happening. Because if we don't give this thing called spirit our undivided attention, we're going to have problems. And what scripture tells us is we're starting out being attached to a resource of energy that is limiting. We're in the realms of suffering and decay. The key here is that you want to be able to get out of it while you're still in the physical body. And there's a lot of stuff out there that just really encourages you to stay exactly where you are, mm. and to continue to survive, and we will give you all of the tools that you need to survive. But if after a while you really get tired of surviving and you want to grow, then you're going to need to initiate your process as an individual. And what's amazing is that I really think that if you employed what it is that we are teaching people and you decided that you wanted to be an Olympian, that it would enrich your ability to do that. It would enrich your performance, and it would give you tools that you could actually grow psychologically and spiritually and still perform at your optimal best.
Right. Well, it's just like not all athletes are the same, and not all yoga instruction is the same. So this might come as a shock to some people who want to study yoga and practice yoga, and they may not understand that it's not just working on the asana postures. It's all about purifying the body, which I think the athletes do very well. When you look at them, they look like the epitome of what you think an athlete would look like. But then maybe it stops right there, like in the case of Ryan Lochte. Obviously, he hasn't gone any further, in his human development maybe. So I think that's important to understand that there are different types of yoga training out there. So how does somebody maybe first listening to this program, how would you guide them on their first steps of becoming an Olympian?
Well, again, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Going back to what is my level of consciousness, what is my degree of awareness, and what is it that I'm using to produce the feeling that I'm happy? I remember years ago reading that book, Born to Run, and there was a guy who was watching these tribesmen from Mexico in this particular race in America, and the thing that impressed him the most was that there was this section of the race where these two tribesmen come out and they start running up this hill, which was the first time he ever seen anybody approach that hill with a sense of joy. Most people approach the hill with this sense of anguish and dreaded the simple fact that they had to work at that level, but these particular people had this love of running that just completely impressed this particular coach. And that was the thing that you want to really be able to do, is learn to love what it is that you're doing, but again, trying to understand, like, what is love? Because love really has very little to do with what goes on between human beings. True love has everything to do with what goes on between the human being and your divinity. Because the problem with the world, as we say, isn't God's love for humanity. It's humanity's love for God. It's like we don't know what God is, and we're embroiled in the physical world, and we have our back to this really important resource, and we're not getting the benefits that come with this. But to have that sense of connectedness and to have that sense of joy, then what you're doing really isn't sacrifice. It's actually indulgence.
Well, it is about that time that we need to start closing down the program. So I would like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. And be sure to visit the website at www.ipdtransform.com. Once there, you can post comments about this show or give us any ideas for shows you may want us to consider to do in the future. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. Next week, Sunday, is the MTV Video Music Awards, so I believe we're going to be celebrating music, Kriya Yoga style, on Monday. So be sure to tune in for that. And don't forget, you can email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions that you would like Swami to answer. What final thoughts or comments do you have about today's show about being an Olympian?
Well, I would encourage people to connect with us and maybe start employing some of the things that we're talking about so that you do experience the benefit of internal support, that you have the tools to grow psychologically and spiritually. To be able to, like we were saying, stand on the podium of life, that when the Olympics are over, that you won't be going through any kind of withdrawal or depression or trying to adjust or even trying to make it more than what it really is. I think that's an important thing, that we really have a tendency to romanticize and glorify, and, you know, I got the gold, I'm the world's fastest man, or whatever it is that we associate or identify with in order to try and make ourselves feel good about ourselves, that if you could actually feel good about yourself because you feel connected to this life force, that you feel connected to something pure, powerful, and sacred, then I think you are truly a winner. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.